Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Well, and welcome to the program, Father Chrysostom Mayinka. He is a Dominican priest, and he is assigned at the Newman Center at the University of Washington. Father, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you on. We're going to be talking about what is, for me, one of the beautiful signs of God's work to renew the church today, to awaken the church, to revive the church.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
But I would actually call it a true movement of the Holy Spirit, and that is the awakening and the broadening of the ministry of signs and wonders to both demonstrate and manifest the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I just threw a very big statement out there. Is that hyperbole? Is that an exaggeration? What do you think?
No. Amen. Amen, Tom. I think this is a work of the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And Encounter School of Ministry is all about us training. What does it mean to partner with God? What does it mean to steward the gifts of the Holy Spirit within us, that the Lord has given to us in virtue of our baptism? Maybe I'll just start off heavy. A testimony is always good, right? I just learned the other day that the four Gospels use different words to describe what it means to preach or preach the kingdom of God. And the Gospel of John talks about witnessing or martyring. So he doesn't use the word preaching, but he says, like, we must martyr Jesus Christ. It's all about witnessing. Matthew and I believe it's Matthew and Mark is about preaching. And Luke he makes a verb out of good news. We good news the gospel, or we're good newsing when we share the gospel. So one is preaching, the other one's good newsing, the other one is giving testimony. And they kind of give different lenses of what the gospel is all about. And so I'll give, one legitimate way is just giving your testimony. This is the most basic way of preaching, honestly, is like just sharing what the Lord has done in your own life. It's so, it takes defenses down when it's not so much like you need Jesus, but rather, this is what the Lord has done in my life. And same thing with the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes people get, there's a bit of spook factor. I think sometimes when you start talking about like manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the year 2024, and people say, no, either that was biblical or that is hyperbole, or maybe you're all lunatics or something like that, because I haven't seen this in my life. And all you can, sometimes it's a lot, it's less scary if you just say, this is what the Holy Spirit does in my life. So maybe just really quick, what happened in my own life is I've seen the Holy Spirit work in my own life already, but what I really needed was a renewal about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I was a new priest, and as many people might know, like new teachers or anywhere else, the first 5 years is really, really hard for different reasons for different people. And I went to this not an event put on the Encounter School of Ministry, but by a similar charismatic Catholic group. I saw people being prayed over, and I started praying over people as well. And people were resting in the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh, I heard of this before. I'm like, oh, well, these people seem pretty legitimate. And I start praying over people, and they start falling over. And then there's this one guy, I do remember there's one person that fell over. I thought, oh, I'm calling phony on number three. I don't know about this guy. I think he wanted to fall over. And so I tried to suspend judgment and just be open to God. And I thought, okay, well, if this contributes to virtue, I'm open to it. And so then it came for me to be prayed over. And I said, okay, this person said, I'll pray over you. And I just put my hands on my chest, and I thought probably nothing is going to happen. But I never want a barrier between myself and God, and so I just want to be open. And so she, I closed my eyes, I put my hands on my chest, and I felt her come up and like bless my forehead like this. I felt her thumb and bless my forehead, and then like through my forehead down my body, there was like this electric jolt and all this light that came in, and I fell down. And I thought, wow, okay, I guess that's what that is. And then about a week later, I went to a debriefing with some of the leaders of this group, and we started going through the event step by step and just reviewing it. And then they said, Father, what happened to you? And I said, well, I guess I rested in the Holy Spirit, was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they went, no, people usually look peaceful. They're like, you look like you're electrocuted. What happened to you? And I said, well, it's when you came out to me and blessed my forehead. And then she said, I never touched you. She said, no one touched you. And I like, what do you mean? Like, no, we just started to lift up our hands to start praying over you. And then your arms and your legs flung out in front of you, and you just collapsed on the ground. And I must have gone white as a sheet because I definitely felt someone bless me with the sign of the cross on my forehead. And so then I was like I said, I believed in God. I called on the Holy Spirit before then. I was trying to walk with the Lord, but what I really needed was renewal in my life. I needed a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And by God's grace and mercy, He gave it to me, and I've just been on fire for the Lord since then. So I consider myself a bit of a microcosm of what the Lord is trying to do in the macrocosm of the church in general, particularly through the Encounter School of Ministry.
That what a beautiful and powerful testimony, Father Chrysostom. When I think about that, here you are as a Dominican, you have had extensive formation as in the religious life and in the seminary track to being ordained as a priest. And along the way, you of course received teachings on the Blessed Trinity, teachings on the stages of spiritual growth and all of this. And yet there was something that was different about what happened when you had this encounter, this experience, this transformative meeting with the Lord and His Holy Spirit, bringing about an anointing, a release. I just want to say, was there anything about your formation that prepared you for this, or do you feel like your formation potentially would have put up a blockage to even be open to something like this?
That's a good question. I've actually had 4 years diocesan training in a diocesan seminary, and then I've gone through 8 years of Dominican formation. Maybe how about this? Maybe instead of I wouldn't say a blockage, but I would say you see in theologics, it's very heady, as any class would be, right? We make a distinction with Dominicans between preaching and teaching. The primary object of to teach is to inform the intellect, and only secondarily is it move the will to accept what was taught. And the primary object of preaching is to move the will, the heart, and only secondarily to move the intellect. So, in other words, that's why preaching should be very simple, because we're trying to galvanize and inspire to move, whereas teaching tends to be much more heady. And so, like some people, you might hear from priests and maybe from myself that, like, in seminary, they teach you certain things, but they don't teach you other things. Or it can sometimes, some people might experience it as very heady. And I think it's very true. It could be very heady, and that's not a bad thing. Renewal, corruption and sanctity lies in the will. So holiness lies in the heart, right? As James says, even the demons believe and tremble. So, like, even they have belief, but their hearts are corrupted. And so that's why they're damned. However, renewal oftentimes begins with the mind. All right. And so it's just what requires is an ascent of the heart, or rather to make concrete in your own life. And perhaps the years and years of like stress on the intellect in seminary formation could, or if anybody just, if their faith really resides in reading books only, not that we should be informing our intellects, but if there's no way to activate it, then yeah, that could become a block for sure. I think it's when we disassociate heart and mind. That would be a big block. And hurt people hurt people. And so if someone has really in their minds in their own faith life, they sometimes want to see that in your faith life too.
Father, I loved your distinctions. And one of the things that jumps out at me is that relationship between the mind and the heart. Some contemporary writers have identified a weakness of our age as this separation of, let's call it, theology and spirituality. So you go into your good Catholic bookstore, and those are two different sections. And theology tends to be increasingly abstract. And spirituality tends to be increasingly experiential, but how do you have this integration, this beautiful, profound integration of the mind and the heart together? And I do think that that can be one of the reasons why folks who are strong in being formed intellectually about our Catholic faith have a very narrow bridge in terms of trying to cross over and say, when you overemphasize the experiential component and what you're talking about, baptism in the Holy Spirit and this encounter and all of this, that it's, oh, it's emotionalism. It's really not, truly Catholic. And so, how do you help build that bridge?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't claim to have all the answers to a question like that. I think why can't I have all that? That's a practical question. And so, as I always love to say, principles are clear, but applications of the principles are not always clear. And that includes moral principles, includes practical principles, theological principles. We know the general principles, but how do you make that concrete here and now, in this given situation or that given situation? Could be kind of murky, and it's not always clear. And so sometimes when people come to me for spiritual direction, they want to know what they should do in this or that situation. And sometimes I can just tell them. Other times they're like, listen, actually, I have to just give you principles, and I'm going to have to get you to figure that out on your own. Because I don't know every, it's difficult for you to express to me all your details of your situation. And so when it comes to like, how do we connect mind and heart? For the Dominican tradition, we have a saying, and the saying is, we contemplate and we pass on to others the fruits of our contemplation. And so if the two are really united, heart and mind, is that we're assenting to the truth that we know, but we're also holding it within our heart. And not only that, but the heart itself seeks to understand more and more deeply. And so these are kind of like principles. But there are different personalities, right? Some people you go through the head to go to the heart. Other people you go through the heart to go to the head. And so there's also a bit of subjectivity to this as well, of like, how do you bring certain people to connect the two? I'll tell you another story. I use a lot of stories, but we do some street evangelization here with our young adults. And the way I train them is what I found most effective, which is to preach the Father, then the Son, then the Holy Spirit, and then always enable some kind of an encounter between the two so that you can might bridge the head to the heart. The story I love to bring up because it's such a small microcosm is when I was at a Sikh conference. I was once at a Sikh conference representing the D Western Dominican province, and I had a there was some big keynote speaker. I don't know who it was, Scott Hahn or whomever. And so everybody left the hallways. They all went to the main conference center, and I was exhausted. And I didn't want to talk to anybody anymore. I just wanted some quiet time, and I wanted to be alone. So I just stayed at my booth, and I kind of hid behind my table, and I think I was just praying quietly to myself, just kind of re-energizing. And then this woman walked by, and she said, "Hey, what's all this about? Who are you sitting there? Why are you wearing white robes?" I'm just someone sitting in the hotel." And there's 10,000 students at this conference, and so I thought, okay, well, I'm a Catholic. At the time, I was not a priest. I said, "I'm a brother, and this is a Catholic conference, et cetera." I kind of explained. She's like, "Oh, Catholic. So you're like Christian?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "So you be like Jesus?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Like, and you have like that thing called baptism, I think, like with water. Like, what exactly do you believe? And I thought, okay, Holy Spirit has prompted me. Here I go. So I went and I started speaking about just God in general. I didn't talk about Jesus yet. I just talked about God in general, about like there's got to be something beyond this place, right? There's got to be a some being, and not just like some disembodied force, but like a personal God. And I said, like, what would it look like? Obviously, if God was personal, he'd want to reach out to us. And we have this thing called history of salvation that's kind of recorded in the Bible. And then I told her, however, there's a d big difference between knowing about God and knowing God, right? It's a big difference between reading a book about someone than speaking to the person yourself. You don't know somebody if you just read about them. You know someone if you spend time with them. And so I said to her, so I invited her to prayer to encounter God. And I said, all right, so question for you, do you want to talk to God right now? And of course, everybody usually says, I don't know. I'm like, how about this? I'm going to say some prayers out loud, and you can just listen and then just say amen afterwards. Or I can invite you to like repeat a few words after me. And so I kind of just let her in some, I can't remember all the details, but I let her in some prayers. We prayed something. And then I got her to invite God into her life. I said, repeat after me, Lord, if you're there, I just want you to be part of my life. I'm like, cool. She looked up. She didn't leave. And so I said, okay. And so then I talked to her about Jesus, about the divide between us and God, about how we can't go to him. So he came to us through Jesus Christ to bear our sins, to die and rise for us, so that united to him, we too might die and rise. And so I said to her, so that's Jesus. But are you, if Jesus did this for you, do you want to pray to God right now and say, Lord, if he died for me, I just want him to be my Lord. I want him to be my savior. And she said, sure, why not? So we prayed together. And she said, Lord, if Jesus died for me, I want him to be my savior. Cool. She looked up, looked at me. I'm like, okay, and I said, okay, she's still with me. She's still with me. And like, you can kind of see some like intrigue was increasing in her, and peace was coming down more. So I said, guess what? Jesus didn't just bring us back to square zero, right? Yeah, there's something wrong with humanity. He's come to heal it, but that's not why he just came. He came to give us the very spirit of God, so that the very life of God might be within us, to transform us from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so of course, I took longer to explain this. And so I said, so question for you, do you want the Spirit of God to come into you right now? She said, sure. So I said, all right, let's pray one third time. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit. So we prayed that. She invited the Holy Spirit, and I prayed over her. And afterwards, she looked up, tears were coming down her eyes, and she said, I have to be baptized. How am I going to get baptized? I got to be baptized. It was insane. And she just like, she wouldn't leave me alone. She's like, what do I do? I'm like, you got to find a church. She's like, where? I'm like, I'm not from the city. I don't know. And she's like, what do I do in the meantime? You got to start praying. You got to build your relationship with God. Like, how do I pray? She like made me pen down in the margins of like a card, the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. It was absolutely beautiful. And so why do I say this story? I say this, first of all, because evangelization, if you're like, the Focus missionaries like to say, like, there's two conversions. The first is Christ, the second is to mission. I would actually put a third one in there. I would say there's 1.2. The first conversion is to Christ, the second is to the Holy Spirit. It's with the Holy Spirit that evangelization is effective. But secondly, it's that you can't just talk about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You have to encounter. You have to encounter. And we have to, if you want to evangelize well, we have to lead and facilitate encounters. So I love the name of Encounter for the Encounter for the School of Ministry. It's apt, it's perfect.
That was a beautiful answer. It's, again, it's Father Chrysostom Mayinka. He is a Dominican priest, and he is going to be the primary speaker at this summer intensive program that's happening on August the 2nd, that's Friday the 2nd, and continuing on Saturday, August the 3rd at St. Stephen the Martyr in Renton. I had the wonderful privilege of speaking at one of these intensives a year ago, I think actually back in February. And it was a wonderful experience. The Friday night event was very powerful. The Lord moved in power. And then Saturday itself, again, throughout the day, beautiful summer intensive where you can experience the first four quarters in 2 days of this Encounter School of Ministry. Again, the Encounter School of Ministry is all about learning to be equipped to move in the power of the Holy Spirit with the gifts that he's given to us. Father Chrysostom, a couple of things I want to just draw out. For a lot of folks who are hearing this, and I'll bring this up every time I have someone on that's part of Encounter, or we talk about things like healing services or signs and wonders is something that my brother-in-law said at a little prayer meeting we were having. And he said, there are certain things in the spiritual life, you just don't get it until you've experienced it. Just don't get it till you've experienced it, right? And I think of one of the most natural ones is fasting. You can read books all day long about the power of fasting, about the difference it makes, about how it helps advance the spiritual life and all of that. But you're just not going to get it till you do it.
Yeah.
Till you experience fasting, you're not going to understand the power of it. Same thing with like adoration. You're not going to understand. You can read books and test it. Until you do it, you're not going to get it. And I think that this falls in that same vein, even though it's a little bit more, it's bigger in a sense. It's a little bit more out of control. Because if we say you're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit come down upon you or be released within you, and it'll be like a waterfall or a flood, or it'll be like the burning bush, or it'll be this anointing that fills you to overflowing. You hear those kind of analogies or metaphors for describing the power of the Holy Spirit. And what's it going to mean? Well, it means it'll be like your own personal Pentecost be released in you, and you're going to be set free to go out and evangelize and pray over people. You know what? A lot of people are going to hear that and say, Father, you know, you keep at it. Well done. Keep going. So, you know, do I know I'm signing? Is that really what I want to sign up for? And so you can see how I think people can stand in front of this and say, on the one hand, it's almost like it's hard to believe that it's true. And then the second thing is, I don't know if I want it to become true in my life, because now I'm going to radically be changed and live a different life. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you said it very aptly. So I'm a Dominican friar. If you don't know anything about Dominicans, is that in one sense we have the reputation of being kind of the nerds of the church. A lot of brothers. I think that as in any stereotype, there's always something true and something maybe not always true. Sorry, but there's something partially true, at least in this one, but partially false. Dominicans, we tend to softly divide between those who have much more of a pastoral heart versus those who have a much more of an academic heart. And I use the word heart deliberately because it's not just whether you're smart enough to be academic, but it's whether you have the heart for it. And vice versa, you might have someone who has the intellect for academics, but they don't have the heart for it. They have the heart for preaching and teaching. And everybody kind of has a bit of a foot in both camps. But for the brothers, I said some people you go through the head to the heart or the heart to the head. The Dominicans, it tends to be head first. It tends to be like testimonies maybe don't work as well with them. It's much more like, where does St. Thomas say this? Or where have I read this in the Church Fathers? And so I love using our sister, St. Catherine of Siena, as an example. In fact, I just recently, I'm in contact with a Catherine of Siena scholar right now. And I asked her, like, are there examples of her blessing people and praying over people? Because some people are like, can lay people even pray over people? And he like sent me all these resources, like, yeah, Catherine of Siena definitely blessed people and prayed over people all the time. And then like Blessed Andre of Montreal, like he used to bless people with oil, with holy oil. And it was non-sacramental, for example, and people would be healed. And so like for the brothers, they always have these questions and I always tell them the same thing. I'm like, listen, if you're looking for me to convince you, I'm never going to convince you. All I can do is maybe convince you to be open, and then you have to experience it or encounter it yourself. I can't convince you. I don't think I've ever convinced anybody. All I can do is convince them to be open and for them, they themselves to experience it. Kind of like that whole testimony thing. I'm like, listen, I'm not trying to come heavy-handed. I'm telling you what happened in my life, what many other people's lives, and I invite you to be open yourself to come and experience this yourself.
So let's go to the Summa. Let's take a look at, there are a couple of parts there that I think of when I think about this particular grace of the release of the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Spirit, right? So the gifts of the Spirit are for the sake of the deepening docility or the willingness to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I wonder if that is something that you've experienced, that when you think about the release of the gifts that have you've come to know in your life, Father Chrysostom, hasn't it precisely been all about the willingness to be led, like your testimony of evangelizing the woman who came to the booth?
Yeah. So I think we can't think anachronistically about St. Thomas and what he says in the Summa. So St. Thomas does, he definitely talks about like charismatic gifts and graces. And then sacramental grace, which is different. Grace just means gift, right? We can't earn gifts, we receive. And so there's different forms of gifts. There's what he would call like prevenient graces, which is graces that would lead you to conversion. Then there's I guess you can call it sacramental grace, but it's sanctifying grace, which is the very indwelling of God within you, which makes your soul pleasing to God. It's His presence within you that makes you pleasing to God. And then there's charismatic graces, which are graces given to you for other people. And so like he like, remember there's a bit of a you never sometimes we think that does the Lord do the same thing in every century? Well, in one sense, yes. He's always directing us towards Jesus Christ, to himself, but he can do new things in different times. And there's always renewals in the church. And there could be things that pop up that were never seen before or which have been seen before. The Dominicans themselves, like St. Vincent Ferrer, for example, like he was known for apostolic tongues, being able to preach in languages that he does not know, or a lot of Dominicans were known for their ability to heal or to cast out demons. Some of the phenomena or things would be spoken about in cursory times, but Thomas, I don't think would, he doesn't see the same phenomena, at least around him, or he's isn't examining it in the same way that we would examine it in here. So I don't want to be anachronistic about that, but he does speak about, yeah, the Lord can manifest himself in ways to encourage us and also to use us as instruments for other people. When we lay over hands on somebody else for healing, it's we don't do it. The Holy Spirit does it through us. And it is our dignity that the Lord wants to use us for others, that we are part of salvation for other people. You might say, I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. But this is that's why it's a gift. It's a gift to be part of someone else's salvation.
Amen. That's Father Chrysostom Mayinka, who is here talking with me today. He's going to be preaching and teaching at the Encounter School of Ministry, the summer intensive that's happening at St. Stephen the Martyr in Renton. It's on Friday the evening, the August the 2nd, continuing on to August the 3rd. You can go to encounterschool.org/Seattle, encounterschool.org/Seattle, in order to register. You can also go to the St. Stephen the Martyr website for the parish, and there's a link there as well. Father Chrysostom, you've talked about the work of evangelizing on college campuses, the work of a campus minister. How have you seen the graces and giftings that you've had released within you through your own work and your own encounter with Encounter? What difference has that made? How have you seen it bear fruit?
Yeah, good question. So what I do, I have a bit of a mixed job. I'm very sacramentally present, and I would say, and also via spiritual direction, present to the undergrads here at the University of Washington. And then a lot of my time is taken up by working with 21 to 35 year old young adults in Seattle. And so we have a young adults group called FRSATI, Seattle Catholic Young Adults, that's between Blessed Sacrament Parish and here. But we also draw people from all over Seattle. And we're pretty active and we're always growing, and it's hard to keep my head above water. And we have quite a few young adults.
That's exciting. That's really exciting to hear that there's a very vibrant young adult community there.
Yes, it is very exciting. It's drowning sometimes, but... some people think that there's nothing really going on for young adults, but I think it's just a bit more centralized, and praise be to God, there's more and more local young adults groups that are kind of rising up in Seattle, like at Holy Family Kirkland, for example. But FRSATI, for the time being, is kind of like a larger hub of young adult activity. And yeah, we have growth problems. We don't have number of problems. We have too many number of problems. We're always trying to make sure that we try to retain a sense of community, especially when we have a lot of new people that come. And so for the undergrads, we do have some undergrads who have come to Transformation Nights. Transformation Nights is different from the Summer Intensive. It's monthly events on a Friday night, where there's usually praise and worship, a teaching, and then some ministry afterwards, and healing ministry. I've also had some young undergrads come to the Summer Intensive last summer, where I went. But we have a lot more young adults, the 21 to 35 year olds, who are actually part of the actual school of ministry. Including my cook, by the way. How is it borne fruit? It's hard to explain. I guess in many ways, for their individual transformation and growth and vibrancy in our group, increased leadership and activities among the members who are going. But there's also like it's just the prayer ministry themselves. We have a smaller group of prayer leaders that are growing as well, and we're doing more prayer ministry over others. And it's really just enlivening the young adults themselves. Like Jesus is real; he's present. And he is alive.
That's I mean, so crucial, right? So when we think about today, how the dominant culture, especially in a, like, let's call it around the campus of the University of Washington and just in the Puget Sound area itself, it can probably be a bit overwhelming in its sort of anti-Catholicism, anti-God, anti-gospel, with so many trends and sort of forces that are attempting to undermine or overthrow the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. Have you found that sort of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you and then fostering that among young people gives them boldness, gives them a strengthened capacity to stand up, speak out, push back, or present the truth in a way that will even expand its influence?
It is there is a you can see a whole kind of like a holy boldness that comes into young adults themselves. I think the this kind of I would say beginning of like really an outpouring of the Holy Spirit among our young adults is pretty new. It's it itself, along with myself, when I received this huge renewal just a year and a half ago. I mean, there were some young adults, but they're kind of hidden. And when you are maybe what they would call on the East Coast ghosty, like holy ghosty, they would
Oh, that's funny.
there's yeah, that's what they call you. So when you're kind of ghosty in that way, as they would call you, there's you know that you're kind of different, or when you speak about your experiences, other people kind of hush and they don't really have a lot to relate to it. And so I met a lot of young adults who they themselves were maybe going to encounter or experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but kind of really they really kept it to themselves because you can only go and be in so many conversations where like you talk about these things and everyone looks at you like you're an alien, where you start to just kind of get more and more quiet about it. Also, Blessed Sacrament is kind of known as being a pretty traditionalist parish. We have a very high liturgy, for example. And so I like to call myself tradismatic, I guess.
Nice.
And so like we love chant. We love the traditions of the church, and we also love infusing all this with the Holy Spirit as well. And I think for a lot of us, there's a lot of I feel like we're in the beginning, not at an apex, if that makes sense to you. So when you say, how has this kind of unfolded? I was like, I feel like it's just starting to unfold. And I see this through a new enthusiasm. We have once a month a praise and adoration night, for example, which is slowly growing. And a lot of the skills that the young adults they themselves have learned from the Encounter School of Ministry, they want to start operating in our praise and adoration nights, where we do internal healing, for example, prayer ministry, street evangelization, and just praying out loud to the Lord. But it's not just a holy boldness in the world, but it's, I hate to say it, but a little bit of a holy boldness in the church itself too. When you're used to being really passive, and when there's only so many other people with a shared experience, there could be a bit of timidity. And I feel like we're growing out of that right now. And I would say probably think if I would put a projection on it, maybe in a couple years, if not sooner, we could see it really, really come to the fore. really explosive, but right now it's just churning and growing.
That's again Father Christopher Chrysostom Mayinka. He's a Dominican priest. He ministers at the Newman Center there on the campus of University of Washington, and he's a speaker at the Encounter School of Ministry Summer Campus Intensive, which is happening August the 2nd and 3rd, Friday night and Saturday at St. Stephen the Martyr in Renton. Go to encounterschool.org, encounterschool.org/Seattle to find out more information and to register, or just go to the website of St. Stephen the Martyr. Father, you mentioned, I'm going to go take this in two directions. The first is there's this boldness now to evangelize on college campuses, and maybe you've already been doing this, the idea of street evangelization. I'm wondering how often you or the students that you're working with that are doing this street evangelization, like, what's that like for Catholics? I mean, they must be like, are you actually Catholics don't do this, right? So what's that like for you? What
Yeah.
I'd love to again hear a story about yourself or others that you work with that actually you're doing this and what happens.
Yeah, good question. So I guess there's two forms, I guess you can say, of street evangelization. The one for the undergrads would just be tabling. If you're not familiar with that, it's like when we have like a Catholic table on campus in like the quad, so like one of the big squares, at the University of Washington, and we just and the focus missionaries are often there, and you invite people and just do a conversation, and it's not about winning them, but just actually being present to them above all else. And then if the Lord so prompts, then inviting them to a Bible study or a small group or something like that. The more I would say, then there's the other tr street evangelization, which we've been experimenting with over this last year. During our praise and adoration nights, which are once a month on a Saturday, where we would have some young adults that would go onto the street, and as people walk by, oftentimes we use rosaries. We say, "Hey, would you like a rosary?" That's just more like a bridge to like begin a conversation. So, "Hey, would you like a rosary?" And then we just ask them questions. It's more, there's principles, but it's more like an art. The art of speaking to them about God. And like I said, it's all about like bringing them to a point where you can pray with them to God, inviting God into their life. And if you can, then like the story before, in talking about Jesus, getting them to speak to God about Jesus, accepting Jesus as their Lord. And the third would be inviting the Holy Spirit to the lives. And so I guess one story was that I had a couple of young adults, and what was it? I brought them to the street and I showed them how to do it a couple of times. And then, because I'm always running everything, I have to be omnipresent as much as the Lord will let me. So I had to leave them right away. I'm like, okay, figure it out. I'm a big a proponent of the best way for you to learn how to do something is by trying and trying and trying and failing, trying and failing. So it's like, okay, you guys got to take this. You've seen the model. I got to go inside and do whatever. And so one of the young adults, who thought he told me later on, like, he thought definitely nothing is going to happen. He thought definitely no one is going to stop and talk to us. They're just going to laugh at us. And then someone came up and said, he said, "You want a rosary?" And the guy said, "Why would I want that?" And just began like tearing into him about rosaries and how it's a bunch of BS. And him and this other young woman started speaking to him about the Lord, brought him to, was able to bring him to prayer. They prayed with him and then they prayed over him. And then the man looked up, became peaceful, and then he said, "You know," I think he said, "You know, my uncle said that he once met Saint Michael the Archangel." Like the man's whole demeanor just changed, and the young adult came up to me. He was hooked after that. Like, he's super skeptical. He's like, "I'll try it because I should," and he's like, "Whoa! If the goal isn't to, I guess you can say, I'm going to convert you, but rather, I want to create, I want to facilitate an encounter with God." That's God does it. And what all you're trying to do is help someone else encounter God, and God will do the rest. And he saw it before his eyes, like, whoa, dude, as soon as I was able to facilitate that, he just saw it, like the man completely changed, and he got all jazzed up. And now he always wants to do street evangelization. There's nothing more amazing than seeing the Lord use you for his work, and he does. He wants to We were not meant to just receive and do nothing, right? The Lord has called us not just to be faithful, but fruitful as well. And so it's so that's one anecdote. I've seen Beautiful. The Lord work.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
A lot of folks are listening right now and they're are participating in this interview here, and they're wondering, how does this apply to me, right? So a lot of the folks listening are not on a college campus. They're in a home, and the folks that they're principally trying to reach are their own kids or grandkids that are in their home, maybe their spouse. Yeah. And if we can, I'd love for you to just share a little bit about how these powerful truths and these transformative graces that have touched your life, that this renewal that you've talked about, this isn't only for priests and for people that are in ministry on the street. Talk about how this plays a part in how husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, grandparents live their faith out as well.
Oh, that's a big question. I don't know. I don't really know if I have a single answer for that, to be honest with you right now. But when we are supposed to be in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit has made us his temple, life is supposed to be completely different. It's like, it's the same stuff you're dealing with in one sense, but like how you approach this from like a kingdom perspective, how you approach these issues from a God perspective should be completely different. So we are, what's going on at church right now? So we are about to begin a couple of things. We're going to be hearing from the Gospel of John over the next 6 weeks. We're going to digress from Mark, and we're going to hear from John chapter 6. It's all going to be all John 6. And then we're also in the middle going through Ephesians. We have, I think, 6 or 7 Sundays of Ephesians. And Ephesians is one of the most beautiful letters, absolutely beautiful letters. Paul's kind of, he doesn't really deal so much with practical stuff, but he's kind of reflecting in general. And this seems to be an epistle or a letter that's written to many churches, not just Ephesus. And so the letter is very much split into two. It begins with, what have you received in Jesus Christ? He reminds them. It's more like, what are we in Christ? That's chapter 1 to 3. And then chapters 4 to 6 are like, and what is Christ in us? Mm. And so it begins with like, what are we receiving Christ? And then it goes on to like, now what is Christ in me, in my day-to-day life? And so it has to begin like that. It's first gift and then fruit, right? Fruitfulness is the product of good stewardship of gifts, right? You can't earn gifts. You receive them. You can ask for them, but you receive them. And then stewarding these gifts gives fruitfulness, right? And so Paul reminds them. He reminds them in Ephesians chapter 2. He says that the Holy Spirit is your inheritance, right? Because you're a son and daughter of God, you receive an inheritance from your father, who is God, and that inheritance is the Holy Spirit, right? And so he reminds them, like, your mind, let me grab the quote really quickly. I love Ephesians. I'm tempted to do Bible study this summer on Ephesians, but I'm also trying to back up and just prepare for the rest of the year. Let's see. Sorry, just give me 1 second.
Oh, you're doing great, Father.
All right, so Ephesians chapter 2 says this: may the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What are the riches of glory of his inheritance among the holy ones? Remember, just a couple lines before, he says your inheritance is the Holy Spirit. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great mind? And so he says, like, it's not just your mind, but your very heart, the way you operate in the world, and not just how you see and also how you operate needs to be renewed. You need the eyes of your mind and the eyes of your heart to be enlightened so that you really own this identity as a son and daughter of God, and you operate out of your inheritance as that son and daughter of God. And so that's how it begins. It's like you, I'm going to remind you. And then chapter two is all about, you've been called out of sin, right? I got to read that beautiful quote once again from Ephesians. He reminds, like, you've been called out of sin and you haven't been given this Holy Spirit because you earned it, right? As I always like to say to people, like, did you earn your baptism? Do you earn the grace to go to confession? Do you earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit? You just get them. It's not earned. And so Paul reminds him, like, you were sinners, but, quote, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from you, it's a gift from God. It's not from works, so that no one may boast. Okay. And sometimes we hear our non-Catholic brethren, Christians, quote that, but then the very next line he says, for we're God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus, or rather recreated in Christ Jesus through baptism. For good works that God has prepared in advance for us. In other words, you receive by grace so that you might go and do what Jesus did. So I don't want to get caught up in Ephesians too much, but that's chapter 1 to 3, what you've received in Jesus Christ, what you are in him. And chapters 4 to 6 are about what that means in our lives. And that's when he says that you need to imitate Jesus Christ in your life. And that's when he starts going to say, like, this undergirds not only every easy aspect of your life, but he also talks about relationships with power differentials, asymmetrical relationships in the first century, slaves and masters, parents and children, and in his context, husbands and wives. That's when we get that that well-known what people like to fight about when Paul says, like, wives be submissive to your husbands, right? And people are like, whoa, what does that mean? He's not he's taking this context to say, listen, this is how things are. Sure. There's slaves and masters, there's children and parents, there's asymmetrical relationships in the first century. But then he goes on and says that how is this normal institution undercut by your life in Christ now? And he, like, infuses and all he takes the most extreme examples of asymmetrical relationships, and he infuses and undercuts all of this power dynamics with your life in Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, you masters and slaves, actually, even that has to be changed, because you realize when you go to heaven, there's going to be no slave and master, you're going to be brothers. Wives and husbands, yeah, in what first century, wives, husbands basically, in one sense, kind of like controlled whatever their wives do. But he says, sure, but guess what? You need to love her like Jesus loved his church. It undercuts that, right? Same thing with parents and children. So, in one sense, it should be undercutting everything. The eyes of your heart and your mind need to be transformed so that you look at everything in your life from from a kingdom perspective. That's kind of a long-winded answer, and I'm not giving a lot of specifics, but these are the big basic principles that Paul speaks about.
Father Chrysostom, you've done a very good job there as a Dominican. Lay out the principles, right? And you'll find the applications as you shared. But when I think about this, right, and I hear it as a parent, as a husband, as a father, and kind of putting myself in the place of a lot of the folks that are listening, they may have heard some of this language before, right? They hear it in homilies or in a talk. And then the question becomes, wait a minute. Am I saying that I should be expecting more, like a greater sense of intimacy, vitality, power, empowerment in my day-to-day life? Like somehow those words are going to come alive in a new way. And I think that's what Encounter promotes and actually nurtures is through this summer intensive, where you'll be speaking on the second and third at St. Stephen the Martyr. Is this sense of no, when you know, right? When that power becomes released, and you begin with this, Father, the experience of renewal, then everything changes. Like all of those words mean something new to me now. There's something different.
Yeah,
So,
okay, I see what you're getting at.
well, and here's what I'm going
What's
to say, Father. Here's what I'm going to say. Why don't you pray right now for folks who are listening? So we'll move from concept
Okay.
into action, and we'll just see what the Holy Spirit has to do here to move in the hearts and minds of those who are listening to have this reviving, this renewing in their own lives, even through something like a radio interview.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I can pray. I'll just maybe right before I pray, I'll answer. Can I answer the question first? Is that
Yeah,
okay?
please go,
All right.
Father.
So, yeah, day-to-day life, once you start realizing that the Holy Spirit is for here now and not just in some lofty idea, yeah, it's this process of making him an active element in everything that you do. And sometimes we pray really quickly, maybe before meeting or perform our work, say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Father, just direct my work in Jesus' name, Amen. But like there's this pause, like, no, I want to wait for the Holy Spirit to come and kind of wait until his presence comes, all these things. So yeah, let's pray right now. We'll call on the Holy Spirit. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.
So let's just pause and invite this presence of God. So come, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The presence of God, we just, Spirit of God, we just pray that you might be with us and all the listeners right now. We just pray that you might surround us and come into our hearts right now. We invite you and we want to surrender our hearts to you. We don't want to strive for your grace. We want to surrender to your grace. We just pray for this grace and this acceptance of just giving ourselves to you. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Heavenly Father, I pray for all the people listening right now, and I just pray that you might come into their hearts. I pray for you might give them a sense of direction, but above all else, conviction, that you might convict all or some of the people listening right now to come to this conference. I pray especially for those who need a renewal, Lord, that you might direct them, convict them, and bring them to the doors of Saint Stephen the Martyr. I pray that you might draw them there. If there's any obstacle, Lord, we just pray that you might remove those. If there's any forces of the diabolical, we just send these forces to the foot of the cross that they might have no bearing over our brothers and sisters' lives. And we just pray that you might plow a straight way, Lord. And we just believe that you want people to come, and we believe that you want to give renewal to our church. We believe that you did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of strength, of power, and of self-control. And we just breathe and believe in this power. And we pray for it over your church in Seattle, Lord, that you might grant us renewal, that we might be the sea of renewal for this church, for this city. And so pray, Father, we just pray, come, Holy Spirit, and send your spirit upon all these people right now, Lord. In Jesus' most holy name, Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Chrysostom. That was again very powerful, and I appreciate your willingness to do that, just to be able to be spontaneous and available and pray as you're led. That by itself is a wonderful example for folks who are listening, and I do trust that the Lord stirred up folks as you were praying. And folks, if that was something that did stir you, again, take that to prayer. And if you can, if you are in the Puget Sound area, come on out and listen as Father ministers at the summer intensive for the Encounter School of Ministry that is happening at St. Stephen the Martyr on Friday evening, August the 2nd, and continuing on August the 3rd. If you go to encounterschool.org/Seattle, encounterschool.org/Seattle, you'll see the range of topics that are covered, the themes that are there, and you'll come to see that the things that you'll be introduced into are transformative. There's healing, there's restoration, there's release, there's new dimensions of our life of faith that the Lord intends for us. It's not just for the privileged few. It's what He really wills for us. And again, Encounter is just one of those wonderful signs of the work of God in our time to help revive the church to be all that the Lord intends for the church to be. Father, I'll give you the final word as we're wrapping up in the time that we have on the program. What would be a final thing that you'd want to share with our listeners?
Final thing would be that the Lord never calls you to fear, He calls you to courage. The Lord never calls someone to a position of fear. There might be something that makes you afraid, but that's not where you're called to sit. You can be aware of it, but courage is the proper response of a Christian. That's life in general, but that's also like for something like this. I know it might sound a little like different worldly, or it's not for me, but I would ask you, like, are you discerning this out of fear of the unknown or the unfamiliar? or you discern this out of the courage. Never put a block between you and God. Never say, I only want you this much in my life. I only want you where you're comfortable, where I'm comfortable with you being. I'm comfortable with the familiar. No, God has always wanted a new thing. And I believe that he wants to do a new thing in your life. So take that leap and be like, Lord, I want renewal in my life. And I want you to be an active part of my life. And I'll see you next week.
Amen. I love it. Thank you. That's Father Chrysostom, who is with me today on the program, Father Mayinka. And I want to thank you so much for giving me so much time on the program today. It was a huge blessing. So thank you, Father.
Thanks a lot, Tom. God bless you.